UK Wine Show, show number 86. Nikki Garrett at the University of Cirencester on MBA in Wine. On this week's show,
the wine study tour, which seems to be quite popular, and I don't know why.
And in the news this week, new descriptions for old vines, demand for Burgundy is up, and why you need to be honest about your alcohol intake.
G'day! Welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 86 for the 18th of January 2008. My name's Chris Scott, and this week we're talking about wine education. I know we all had some great plans on New Year's Eve about learning more about wine, so we thought we'd give you a couple of ideas about how you might be able to actually implement them. We start with talking with Nikki Garrett from the University of Cirencester. Nikki helps run the MBA course in wine. And next week we'll finish up with Tim Howe from Majestic on staff training and how Majestic Wines, the UK's top wine store chain, are one of the top companies if you think you like to face the customer and learn about wine. But before we talk to Nikki about the MBA in wine, we have the news with Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. Australian wine producer Yalumba has established an old vine charter to help avoid confusion about the much-used term. Presently in Australia, there is no definition as to what constitutes an old vine, leaving it open to misinterpretation. However, from the 2007 vintage, any wine from Yalumba that says old vine on the label must be at least 35 years old. They'll also introduce the term antique vine for vines of at least 70 years old and centenarian vine for 100-year-old vines. At the moment, this is just a company initiative, but Yalumba hope that other producers will come on board or develop their own charters. In the rest of the world, the term old vine has no legal definition, which means producers can label wines that are comparatively young as old vine, and in doing so, suggest quality. Next up, sales of Burgundy have outstripped production for the second year running. Unlike much of Europe, where overproduction is a problem, demand for the 2006 vintage exceeded volume by 15 million bottles. The exceptional 2005 vintage helped stimulate demand, as well as efforts by producers to improve quality. The UK remains by far the leading export market, accounting for 30% of sales. White Burgundies account for 4 out of every 5 bottles exported, with Chablis and Mâcon accounting for 50% of the total volume. And finally this week, a study by Norwich Union, the UK's leading life and critical illness insurance provider, has found that nearly a quarter of people lie about their alcohol intake. The company invited 5,000 existing policyholders to review their initial application for the study and found that 1 in 14 people provided false information, which could make their policies null and void. This included failing to declare how much they drank. Norwich Union say it's only a small percentage of people who deliberately lie on insurance documents, but in some instances, information is omitted by accident or not enough details given. They recommend that anyone who thinks they've not given all the information they should or would just like reassurance should contact their insurer for clarification. Don't forget you can visit our website 3050.co.uk for more detail on these news stories. We also produce a monthly newsletter which you can subscribe to via the site by clicking register here on our homepage. That's it from me this week. Back over to you, Chris.
Cheers, Jane. Well, at least Yalumba are starting to try and clarify one of those murky wine marketing concepts such as old vine. But they're just one company, and without a consistent standard, I think it's pretty pointless. Terms such as cellar selection, winemaker's reserve, are all fairly meaningless marketing terms, and it means one thing to one company and something else to another. I'm not sure whether it's worthwhile trying to define these terms. I think you just have to be aware that they mean different things to different people, and some of them are pretty meaningless. And well, well, what a surprise. Drinkers fib about how much they drink. To be honest, I'm not that surprised. The concept of a unit is still pretty vague. I've been thinking about units, etc. for a while. I suffer a bit from high blood pressure, And so keeping my unit count under control is part of managing this. But even with looking at units and trying to manage it, I'd have a lot of problems determining how many units a week or a day even that I drink. How many units in, say, 50 glasses of wine that you've tasted and spat out? I know my body tells me I've got some alcohol in my system because I can feel the alcohol. But how many units? I know I haven't swallowed much. I'd hate to see insurance companies stopping insurance claims simply because they're asking for information from people that simply cannot answer it correctly. What's more, if you fib to your insurer in full knowledge, but then you tell your truth to the doctor, if your insurance company gets hold of your medical records, then you won't be covered. So that encourages you not being truthful with your doctor, which I think is probably the worst of the two evil. You need to be able to have an open dialogue with your doctor. So I don't think it's a good thing that Norwich Union are chasing people down on their units of consumption. Next up, we have the new poll. This week, we're asking about how confident are you when it comes to choosing wine? The answers are totally at ease. I know my way around most wine labels. Good on you. Most of the time I'm comfortable, but could do with a bit more knowledge. Or I get by, although I wish it was easier to understand. Or not at all confident. I stick to a few I know, or I leave it to someone else's to decide. Do have your say. You can enter our poll at www.3050.co.uk. Just click on UK Wine Show and it's on the right hand side. If you've been enjoying the last couple of weeks' podcasts about New Zealand and sustainability, you might be interested to know I've just produced a podcast for Harper's, the wine magazine. These will hopefully be fairly regular, but initially they'll be quite ad hoc. The first Harper's podcast I've put together, I'm actually going to put out on this show as the next show. It won't be like a normal show. It'll go out sometime mid next week. The idea is that it's not going out on Harper's RSS feed for a couple of weeks, so I thought you'd let you guys have a listen to it. But you'll be able to pick up all the new shows from Harper's website at harpers.co.uk. The show is all about New Zealand, regionality, varieties and sustainability, so we've covered some of the topics. But it's done with a panel, and on this week's panel we had Philip Gregan, CEO of New Zealand Wine Growers, the New Zealand Wine Trade Body, Nigel Greening from Fountain Road Otago, a fairly iconic wine, Fountain Road. We have John Hancock from Trinity Hills from Hawke's Bay. That's one of the top wineries in New Zealand. And Tim Finn from Nelson's Nordhoff Vineyards. And Nordhoff's been a favourite of mine. They're well respected in New Zealand. So have a listen to that if you want to. We'll hopefully be putting the show out on this RSS feed sometime in the next 4 or 5 days. I'll give Harper's a chance to get it up on their website first. Next up, let's talk to Nikki Garrett doing an MBA on wine. Hi, I'm here with Nikki Jarrett. She is from the University of Cirencester and she helps run the MBA there on wine.
Yes, indeed.
How are you, Nikki?
I'm fine, thanks, Chris. How are you?
I'm very, very, very good. We're going to be talking a wee bit about the MBA course and what you're going to be getting, what people would be getting out of it if they do it. But let's just start off with a wee bit about yourself. How did you get into be running an MBA course on wine?
Well, basically, I've been in the trade for the last 15 years, working for different sort of companies, whether it's been the sort of international sort of big companies or the very small independents. And basically, also I've been teaching them as well. So I run WSET courses, etc. And I wanted to put something back into the actual trade, if you like. Having got all this knowledge, I felt there were people out there that want to go on in the trade. They get to a certain sort of space, if you like, as managers or whatever, and don't really know where to go from there. And I felt running something like the MBA would help them to sort of go on to that next stage. And that's where how I got on to do the MBA.
So you've done a lot of the WSET courses and all that?
I've done all the WSETs. I've done the diploma, and I've also done my Master of Wine. But I failed that one.
Oh,
so at some point, I'll do it again.
You and 5 million other people
have
said it.
Exactly. But it's out there.
Yeah, it's out there to be done. Okay. And now, when did you start working for the uni?
I started working for the uni for about 4 years ago. So this is my fourth year and sort of helped develop in terms of market it, as well as obviously run a couple of wine modules there as well.
Mm-hmm. University of Cirencester, I'm not from the UK, so I'm not really up to what exactly on what the different universities are. I know more about the ones in New Zealand. Where does the University of Cirencester fit in? Is it a, like, we've spoken to people at Plumpton College and they're more into hands-on. Are you guys like a glorified polytech or a full-on Cambridge type university? Where do you fit in the scheme?
We're more into the sort of, because it has a background of the farming agriculture side of it, this is where they've come from. So it has a very international scene to it. So whether people are from South Africa, whether they're from basically from America, Germany, it has a wide international feel to it. And so a lot of them come from the farming area. Now, the college is now starting, or the university is starting to develop into more of different areas, such as business, and this is one of the elements. So we set up the School of Business, and the School of Business offers different courses, but as an international feel to it at the same time.
And at the same time, is it quite focused on sort of the farming, agricultural, agrarian
it
side?
It still does that. Also, it does equine, so linked with the horses. It does food, the food industry as well. So it has many sort of different facets, if you like, but on the global scene. So it is quite an interesting university to actually go to, but still quite small, which is quite nice. Everybody gets to know everybody. I'm not exactly sure how many students, but in comparatively so to other university, it's quite small.
5,000, 10,000, 20,000?
I suppose something like 7,000. It may be bigger than that, or I'm not sure.
No, that's fine. Okay. Now, the MBA itself, can you tell me a bit about what someone would be doing on if they were studying their MBA on wine? Do they get to drink lots of nice Sasakai or something like that?
Not too badly. They do pretty well, to be honest. Basically, the MBA, what we do is it's a postgraduate business management sort of MBA. And what we do is you do a normal business management course and we link it in then with the wine modules. So you will do core modules, about 7 different core modules, whether it's to do with marketing, economics or finance. Mm-hmm. And then we link it in with the wine sector. So I run, for example, the wine industry module together with the wine study tour, which seems to be quite popular, and I don't know why.
What's that? Going cruising around various regions?
Oh, yeah, we cruise. what we do with the wine study tour, we go for a week to one of the European countries, because it happens to be quite close to us, and we will go study a particular region. So, for example, we're going back to Portugal this year, fantastic country, lots to offer, and we will go to areas, sort of vineyard areas such as Alentejo, and visit people like Esparral, and then we'll go up to Coimbra and look in an area called Figueira da Foz. And then we'll poodle on up to the sort of port country and look at the different sort of winemakers there in terms of port.
Are you looking at it from a wine point of view, tasting point of view, or are you looking more at the business that they're in?
More of the business sector. So we get to obviously taste their wonderful wines. Who wouldn't want to do that? We look at their vineyards as well. But what we concentrate on is their sort of their business strategy, how they market their wines, which markets they go into. Because as you can see from like today, there's great sort of loads of different winemakers out there. And England has a wonderful global market in terms of importing wine. But at the same time, it's not maybe the easiest of places to get your wine into because there's a lot of competition. So we see where these guys are going, how they're developing, what their problems are. And at the end of it, you write a project on it. And hopefully we can come up with ideas that they maybe help their business in terms of later on.
Okay.
So we interlink on that.
And
so,
has anybody, when any of these businesses really taken some of the ideas forward yet?
We've gone back to them with some sort of background and just helped them in terms of how they can get their, maybe their agency suppliers, where they can get their wines into, because every country has a different way of getting wines into their country. So we've helped them on that side. Mm-hmm. The other sector, the other module which I concentrate on is the wine industry module. And here we bring in different speakers from different facets of the wine industry. And this helps people not only hear about different places in the world, like Champagne, Burgundy and Bordeaux, but most of these guys are working within the trade. So they give them a good idea of how the business sectors work, and also they get to network at the same time. So, and at the end of the day, also they have to do a project, a little exam, and there you go. And that's just the two modules that I run within the sort of wine area.
And how long does the MBA take usually?
The MBA takes about 15 months. So we run from October into January the following year. It's a full-time course at the moment, but the guys are looking at doing part-time as well. Mm-hmm. So those people within the sort of industry or who want to work but obviously don't want to leave their jobs can go into part-time and study it for maybe a couple of years and just take a slower pace at it but still keep their jobs.
You talked about some people being in the industry, some people not. Do you have a typical student, or what sort of people would do the course?
Well, we probably have three different routes. We have the guys that are already coming into the trade, who are already in the trade, looking to maybe go on to the next stage. We have guys who maybe have retired and they're looking or are completely out of the business and looking for a new route forward. And as I say, those who maybe have a hobby think, oh, wine, fancy doing that, you know. So we have different routes with who come on to the MBA. It's quite a sort of broad spectrum, different age ranges, nice small groups which work really well.
You said different age ranges. What's the youngest? What's the oldest?
anything from 25 all the way up to maybe 50 years old.
Okay.
So it's quite.
Do you get any sort of semi-retired people? Just
we've had one retired guy who did it and enjoyed it. So as I say, broad range of backgrounds, which is great.
Any people owning vineyards or anything like that, or is it more trade?
No, we had one guy whose family owned a vineyard, and then he needed to market his wines on a more of an international stage, and so he's done it that way. Mm-hmm. From doing the MBA, one guy has gone in to run or develop a biodynamic vineyard in Portugal, and then others will then go within the trade. So you can either come do a sort of vinification, viticulture background and go into the winemaking sort of side of it and develop your own business, or you can go into the trade as such, on and off trade.
What sort of things do people go on to do afterwards? You know, your most famous student, what's the most typical thing that you'd expect someone to do?
What's great about the wine industry is there's no fixed route to anything, to be honest. Everybody goes into different sides of it. So I have one initial student who's working for Wines of Australia at the moment, doing the events and organising. So she's done on that side. I have one, as I said earlier, who's starting up a biodynamic vineyard in Portugal. I have one which set up his own wine business, independent wine business. You have ones who will go into the larger groups and go into one of the departments, like a marketing department, and develop within that. So you have a broad spectrum. Have one which has gone into wine journalism. So they go into all different facets of the wine trade, which is great. That's what it's about. Basically, it's a great course for people who come all from all walks of background, who want to work within a wonderful trade. It still has, what's nice about it, still has quite an individuality. So it's still quite small in comparison to most businesses. But it's getting that global feel, like we've seen at the wine show today. You're getting all people from all walks of life coming to have a look, trying out new wines, really getting feel for the subject, you know. Not just going for the general sort of Jacob's Creek, if you like. We're going a bit further ahead now and sort of developing. It's very open market, doing it with food and wine, which is a great aspect of it as well. But they want to get into the sort of learning sort of scenario. And you've got myself running the MBA. You've got WSCT running their courses. So you've got a broad spectrum that people are interested now on the academic side, the educational side, which is a great thing.
Do your people come through with the WSCT qualification? As part of it, the course?
We don't actually at the moment, which is something I would love to do. Some of them have done the WSCT. I have people on at the moment who've done both level 2 and level 3 WSCT, which helps them have that little mental background. So when we have these speakers in, they just have a little bit more for background in terms of understanding where the wines come from, what they taste like, you know, also the terms, because sometimes there are a few terms that maybe aren't readily on your sort of vocab. So yeah, it does help to maybe have done the WSCT certain areas.
What would you say to someone thinking about doing an MBA? What would you say to try and convince them to come along and do it?
I think for me, wine is a wonderful subject. It's both a learning area, but also it's a social aspect. And what's nice about the wine industry, from doing the MBA, is you go and work with wonderful people. As I say, it's still quite a small industry, so everybody works with everybody. They get to know everybody, and it's very relaxed. And you're just working with a wonderful product at the end of the day and working in a wonderful industry. You work hard, but it's good fun at the same time.
Okay then, Nikki, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks.
Hope you enjoyed that interview with Nikki. I don't think I'll ever have time to do an MBA myself, but I can see why some people want to do it. The Uni of Cirencester course covers the core modules including business strategy and organisational transformation, marketing and planning, economics and policy, and financial management. The wine focus modules, I think, which are quite interesting, are overview of the wine industry, wine business planning, viti and vinification, along with what I'm sure is the most popular study tour going, followed by dissertations, which we won't go about. If you want to know more about how you could possibly enjoy an MBA course, I think the MBA in wine is probably the way to go. You can go to, I'll spell it because it's said a bit funny, it's royagcol.ac.uk. That's royagcol.ac.uk. And you can find out more about their MBA in wine. Next week, as I said earlier, we're going to be talking with Tim Howe, CEO of Majestic Wines, about Majestic staff training. What does Majestic offer the enthusiastic wine recruit? And what's in it for you? So until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show is a weekly podcast brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Jane Scott, recorded and edited by Chris Scott, and the news is researched by Sandra Clement. To listen to other shows, visit www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Thank you for listening.